listened across the border. We're continuing here in the Gospel of John. We've got to chapter 6, verse 53. And Jesus speaks to them. Now, of course, Jesus being the Son of God, the prophet of prophets, the preacher of preachers, he is the King of Kings. He can only speak one way, and that is by the Holy Spirit. So we know that while he's speaking, that the Holy Spirit is upon him. The Holy Spirit visibly landed upon him when he was anointed at the John the Baptist Jordan River baptism. So when he's speaking words that are spirit, words that are life, and words that to those that don't have the spirit, that don't have life, words that could be confusing, which they cannot be understand. So they say something like, while he's speaking about what he's saying, he says, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, of course, to eat the flesh of a human would be unlawful. You know, it would be more reprehensible to the Jews than eating a pig. How could Jesus say this? So Jesus answers them, but he answers them in a language that could only be understood spiritually, that to the flesh would sound reprehensible. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso, that's whosoever, say that includes us. Remember that when you see the whoso. That's everybody, everywhere, anytime. And you know what? Yeah, he's not present, but so he is speaking spiritually as we understand now, but they didn't understand that then. This was a new thing, which they, you know, was difficult to comprehend, hard words to hear. He says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things he said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? You know, wow. I mean, imagine you're there. Have to put your place in there 2,000 years ago to and hearing something like this for the first time. I mean, you know, I read the entire Old Testament, and the only flesh they ate was the flesh of the sacrifice of clean animals, and they certainly didn't drink the blood. See, this is fairly reprehensible speech to them. But of course, we know and we understand that he is speaking spiritually, that we need to eat his flesh and drink his blood. We need to fully partake in the sacrifice. That's what he's saying. He's saying, not as your fathers ate manna, you know, physical flesh, but his words are spirit and they are life. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Well, I want to live forever, so I want to make sure that I understand the words, the meaning of the words, so that I can live forever. Very important. And there's really, when you get right down to it, there is really nothing more important than obtaining eternal life. That is the prize of this life. If you go through this whole life, and as the scripture says, you gain the whole world, everything, anything you could want, satisfy every longing and desire, whatever type it is. but you do not obtain this prize, the prize of eternal life, that only comes by the sacrifice of Jesus, Him, the sacrifice of His flesh, and the sacrifice of His blood, which we cannot physically partake, as the fathers did eat man in the wilderness, so we know that we are spiritually partaking of this heavenly bread. So these things He did in the synagogue. Many of His disciples said, "Wow, these words are too hard. Who can hear it?" And Jesus knew in Himself that the disciples murmured at it. This was their first time hearing something like this. He said to them, "Doth this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." He's saying, I'm not talking about the flesh, I'm talking about the spirit. I'm talking about the spiritual meaning of this. "But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. Oh, there's some that believe not among the 12, and who, that was one, should betray Him. So there were those who believed not and those who would betray Him. And He said, "Therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. So we're not just talking about the 12. We're talking about He had many disciples. I believe the scripture records up to 70 at one time, men that followed Him. So there were many beyond the 12 and the one that would betray Him. It says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. He's weeding them out, perhaps. You know, they have no spiritual discernment whatsoever. So that they're so offended by what He's saying. Even though He explains to them, the words that I'm speaking to you are spirit and they are life, meaning they're not in the flesh. It's not about eating manna like the fathers ate manna, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and died, but it's about a spiritual food. Verse 66, from that time, yes, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And then Jesus said to the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You ever feel that? You know, I've rehearsed those words in my mind 1,000 times over. The world, always trying to draw me back, ever since I came to the gospel. Forever, people trying to draw me back, as if they had something better. You know, where would I go? You know, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have nothing better. This is the prize I'm after. The prize is eternal life. Anything less than that is not worth turning away for. It's not worth going in another direction. Peter had the right answer. "We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Peter continues. And Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray Him, being one of the 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for He would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill Him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said to Him, "Depart hence, go into Judea, that the disciples may also see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou doest these things, show thyself to the world." For neither did His brethren believe in Him. So He was in Galilee for the Feast of Tabernacles, and His brothers are saying, are telling Him to go out. And He says, it's recorded here, "For neither did His brethren believe in Him." And perhaps brethren would be His extended family. I don't know. Well, Jesus says to them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up and unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. And perhaps this had to do with the Jews seeking to kill him. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. And others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. And about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And Jesus answered and said to them, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? Yes. See, they want to murder him. And what does the law say? Thou shalt not murder. Said, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep it, he says. Why do you go about to kill me? He's accusing them right there of the murder that's in their heart. The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? And Jesus said to them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses there gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? That was why they wanted to kill him, for violating the Sabbath. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them in Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Now they're making an assumption here that when Christ comes, no man will know who he is or where he came from. Well, that's an assumption, isn't it? Yes, we know all about assumptions. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Do they understand the virgin birth? Did they read about the virgin birth? I mean, it is there. It is veiled in the Old Testament. You know, it's not explicitly written out for them. But perhaps, you know, Jesus is referring to it without explicitly saying it to them. How he came about. How he came from heaven. How he came from God who sent him. Why? Because it wouldn't matter if he told them. If he explicitly laid it out for them, they would not receive it. Just like the miracles. You know, everyone saw the miracles, those who believed and those who didn't believe. Jesus said, believe for the miracle's sake. They wouldn't even believe for the miracle's sake because their hearts were hard and the life, it just was not in them to receive the truth because their deeds were evil. He says, but I know him and I am from him and he has sent me. We understand how he came into the world through that new seed, how he came from the Father who sent him. But they say, we know where you're from, and they're looking to Mary and Joseph. But they're seeing one thing when another thing happened, a thing that they cannot believe, they cannot comprehend. If he told them, my mother was a virgin, they would just laugh. They would have more to scorn beyond the words that he's saying to them. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. So we got a supernatural thing. They wanted to take him, but they just could not move on him. In the same way that he miraculously slipped out of their grasp. Now they went after him, but he wasn't there anymore. What happened? Yes, supernatural something happened. He was very elusive when he needed to be. So they sought to take him, but his hour's not yet come. Verse 31. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, he will do more miracles than thee, which this man hath done. He didn't do enough miracles. We have to acknowledge the miracles that he did, but when Christ comes, he'll do more miracles than this guy, because we don't want to believe in him. See, these are the people that wouldn't believe no matter how many miracles were done. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then Jesus said to them, yet a little while I am with you, and then where I am, thither ye cannot come. And the Jews said among themselves, where will he go? Whither will he go? That we shall not find him. Where's he going to go that we're not going to find him? Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles to teach the Gentiles? Trying to figure out what he's saying here. What manner of saying is this that he said, you shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, the last day of the great day of the feast, the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. He cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So he's quoting the scripture here. I don't know exactly where that is. Maybe I should have looked it up. But anyway, so he's quoting the scripture. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not glorified. So this is the Feast of Tabernacles on the last great day of the feast. A feast that goes from Sabbath to Sabbath. And the second Sabbath of the feast being the final day and the eighth day of the feast. He shouts out these words. It says he cried. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I'm sure everyone that knew the scripture there knew exactly what he was referring to. I mean, this is a religious feast after all, the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was a feast commanded by God once a year, where the children of Israel were supposed to leave their homes, and they were supposed to pack up their food and go out into the wilderness and live in tabernacles for a whole week. Leave the city life and the regular things that they're attached to all year long and go out and have a camping trip and rejoice in the Lord and in each other for 8 days. And it was called a feast because they were supposed to feast and enjoy themselves. I mean, it was an 8-day party in the wilderness. And this was a feast that they were supposed to take before the Lord, commanded by him to focus on him for 8 days, leave the world behind. You know, I long for the days to come when Jesus returns. And we, as a holy nation, gathered about our King of Kings, around that new Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that will be built in the Mideast, when, and the temple. And, you know, I don't know where I'm going to live. I'm going to live as close to the King as I can get. I'll go wherever He wants me. I'll put it that way. I don't know, but that's when I'm moving, okay? In the millennium, after the resurrection, I am moving, you know? A lot of people, they just, oh, you have to go to Jerusalem. You have to go to Israel. It will change your life. I don't think so. You know, I'll wait for that life change. I'll go then. I don't need a temporal experience. I cannot believe any more than I already do. Yeah, that's, I can say that unequivocally. I cannot believe any more than I already do. I believe it as if, you know, like my next breath. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. I believe in the millennial reign of the Messiah. I believe in the six-day creation almost 6,000 years ago. I believe in the flood of Noah. I believe in the Word of God. I could not believe any more than I already do. I could never walk away. And I hope that you believe in the same way that I do. A trip to the temporal Israel and to see that the land is really there. I already know it's there. I believe it. I don't need to see it. He said, blessed are those that believe having not seen. Well, I have not seen, but I believe. And I testify that I could not believe any more than I already do. It's a fact to me. It's a reality. Now the world thinks I'm crazy. Oh, you could Noah's flood. That's a fantasy. God created the earth and, you know, the heaven and the earth in 6 days. The creation happened just like, you know, the sun and the moon were created on the third day. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and He said, let there be light. And the only thing to see was this beautiful blue, perfectly spherical water blue marble with a marble hanging independently in a vast black universe. And you could not see it until God said, let there be light. And then you could see it alone in a vast universe, perfectly, without a wave, without a ripple on it, this perfectly blue spherical shape called Earth, alone in an immense universe. I believe it. I read it. It's the Word of God. I believe it. I could not believe any more than I do. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. For the faith that He's imparted to us. I believe. We have another segment after this. Please visit my website, crossborder.org. Please subscribe to my blog. I will send you a free e-copy of my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Okay, we'll be back after these messages.